Well, good morning. How's everyone this beautiful Sunday morning? It's great as brothers and sisters we can be together in God's house to be fed in word and sacrament. There's a lot going on this week. One thing I do want to make sure everyone understands, with today being Memorial Day, we will not have Bible study or Sunday school after today's service, but that will resume next week. There are a lot of announcements. I encourage you just to take the bulletin, look at it home, not right now, but there are a lot of announcements that I call your attention to. One thing that I have been asked to maybe just give a little bit of a plug, we're about a month and a half out, but there will be a rummage sale. It will be Thursday, July 28th, but we need volunteers. So if you're interested, there is a sign-up book at the Connection Desk, or if you have any questions, you can reach out to Joni, and she can give you more information on how you can support that rummage sale. One other thing, want to call attention to a celebration that will also be coming up in July, where we will celebrate the ministry of Mrs. Armbruster. That will be on Sunday, July 31st, so make sure you mark your calendars for that. And then one last announcement, just as a reminder, we will be having a service, a celebration of life for Darwin Krause this Wednesday at 9:30 here in the sanctuary, but there will be visitation Tuesday from 4 to 8 p.m. So just want to make sure that's on your calendar as well. So those are announcements. Let's rise and begin our service. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are so humble that we can come together to be fed by you. We ask you to be with us this morning. Send your Spirit, Lord, to fill our hearts, to be refreshed and renewed, and by your Spirit, we pray blessings on Pastor Bill and the message that he will have for us. Please just continue to watch over and guide us in everything that we do. Bring glory and honor to you. All this we ask in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And as brothers and sisters, it is important that we do remember why our Lord and Savior had to come to earth to live a life that we could not live, to pay the price for our sins, and to rise victorious so that we no longer are under that weight. So with that, let us confess our sins. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. Because of this, we run for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray. Most merciful God, let us give your only begotten Son to die for us. Have mercy upon us, and for his sake forgive all our sins. And by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And Pastor Bill with the absolution.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto you. And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Generations, for the Lord is for the Lord is good, and his mercies will not fail us, they are new.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Steve Mangrum, one of your elders. Today's first scripture reading, John 17, verses 20 to 26. A little background, first of all. The previous verses to this, Jesus is praying for his disciples. In these words, these verses, Jesus is praying for all believers. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and I loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. This is the word of the Lord.
All right, children, and now it's time for our children's message, and Ms. Kasten has a message just for you.
Oh my goodness! Look at all these kids! Yay, I'm so excited to see you guys today.
My parents are here.
Your parents are here?
Yes.
Well, thank goodness. I didn't think you drove yourself. Okay, that's good. So did you guys just hear what Mr. Mangrum told us when he read to us from the Bible? He said that Jesus was praying for his friends. So it's kind of a unique situation. It's a little different. Because earlier in the Bible, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we know Jesus prayed by himself. He was in the garden. Do you kind of remember that story before he was on the cross? So this is a little different because he was praying where his friends could hear, praying for his friends and for us one day, even though we weren't born yet. He knew we were going to be born. And he was praying for us. And that's a really cool thing because that's the only time in the Bible that we hear him really praying out loud for his friends. Raise your hand if you ever pray out loud. Do you pray out loud? Raise your hand if you ever pray for a friend. Yeah, I know a lot of you do. That's awesome. So we're also going to hear a verse today, and I guess you guys will be gone for this, but we're going to hear it, and it's from Revelation. So here we were earlier in John, and now we're going to go to Revelation. And guess where the verse is going to come from today?
The very last book.
The very last page. And do you know when I was getting ready for this message, I was reading it on my phone, and that's a good reason to have your Bible around sometimes, because then when I opened the Bible, I was like, oh, it's the very, very last page. I wouldn't have known that if I didn't look in my Bible. Phones are good too, but I just thought that was kind of neat that I did that. I think God told me to do it. So here's something really important that we're all going to hear today, and you're going to get to hear it in children's worship. And it's a message that Jesus had for us. Are you ready? It's called Be Ready. He wants us to be ready because he says, I'm coming again. Jesus is going to come again. He's going to come from the clouds. It's going to be amazing and just like spectacular. So that's one way that we can go to heaven is if Jesus comes again. And we ask him all the time in our prayers, come, Lord Jesus. We want him to come again because everything's going to be perfect when he does. And so I ask him every morning, I just wonder, will today be the day when you wake up in the morning and say, Jesus, were you coming today? If not, help me to be ready for when you do come and help me to help others be ready. So let's start with you first. How many of you know Jesus and you love him and you believe he died on the cross and he lives in heaven? Every one of you, I know you do too. You just don't know to raise your hand. It's fine. So we all know that. How many of you know Jesus and you know he died for you and he was on the cross and he went to heaven? See? They know it too. That's awesome. So guess what? We're ready, but Jesus says we have to help other people be ready. Okay, so I was thinking about that because the only other way to go to heaven besides Jesus coming again is what? If we die, right? And I was thinking about some of my friends who are already in heaven and how they helped me be ready because I wasn't totally ready. I was kind of ready, but I wasn't like really knowing Jesus real well. But one day I came up here, I was going to have a baby, and I heard about a rummage sale. And I went to that rummage sale and I met a lady named Glenda. And she invited me to come to church, and she invited me to ladies' Bible study, and she invited me to buy a bunch of stuff too for my baby. So I did that. So that was my friend Glenda. She invited me to come to church. Anybody else want to invite a friend? Anybody want, you do? Here you go. You're kind of like my friend Glenda. You can have that. Then I was thinking about after I had my baby. And someone came to my house. She was my neighbor, but she also went to this church. Her name was Ellen. And she brought me a meal. She was a good neighbor. She came by. I had never had anyone bring me food before like that. I didn't know that's what she did in the church. So she taught me how to be a good neighbor, and her name was Ellen. And then I had another friend, and her name was Lisa, and I knew her for a long time. And she had kids who were the same age as my kids. But then when we got older, we started helping other people with kids. And she knew that we had someone that we had a need at MOPS. And she said, I can come. I can be a helper. I can take care of kids so those moms can go and they can listen to things about Jesus. So her name was Lisa, and she was a helper to everyone. She did so many things, and she taught me to be a helper. Is anybody else here a helper or want to be a helper? You do? There you go. So that's like Lisa. She was my helper. Or taught me about that. I had another friend. Her name was Pat. And she's in heaven. And Pat, she showed me so much kindness because she had two crazy boys. One of them might be here today. He comes here sometimes. He's a grown-up man now, and he's not crazy anymore. But I had three crazy boys, and she always showed me kindness, and she gave me advice, and she told me I was a good mom when I didn't feel like a good mom. Oh, my gosh. So her name was Pat. Anybody else like to show kindness to others? I know you do. So that was my friend Pat. And then I had another friend who loved to tell Bible stories. And he taught me so much. Every time he talked about the Bible, I was like, oh my gosh, he just made it come alive. And I loved to hear him tell those stories. And his name was Pastor Stu. So we're finally to some people that you might know, right? How many of you know Pastor Stu? Does anybody like to tell Bible stories like he? Do you like that, Oscar? There you go. Pastor Stu, he was amazing, and I learned so much from him. And then I had another friend, and he loved to pray for others. And he loved praying for others so much that he would always talk about it. And sometimes he'd read scripture from up here, and he would get all teary because he loved Jesus so much. And he would talk to us about how important it was to pray and talk to Jesus. And the last conversation I ever had with him, he actually asked me to come up here today and say prayers for any of you that want to come down and have prayer, because this is our special prayer and care Sunday. And so the last time I talked with him, he said, would you pray on Sunday for our friends? And I said, absolutely. And so his name was Darwin. How many of you know Darwin? You know Darwin, who just went to heaven, right? Who wants to pray for others? Anybody? Oh, there you go. So that was my friend Darwin. So I have a couple other things in here, because I want to tell you that it's really important to think about this message, to tell others about Jesus and tell them what. There's two words we want to say. Be ready. So can you say it with me? We're going to tell everyone to one, two, three.
Be ready.
Oh, come on. We got to really tell them. So are you ready? One, two, three.
Be ready.
That's right. So I'm going to give you something today. Do you know what hugs are? They're not kisses. They're hugs, right? Little Hershey's hugs. So there's one for you, and there's one that you can give to a friend, and there's probably few enough of you, I can give you three. So you can give them to two friends, or you can eat two and give them to one friend, right? So let me ask you something. When you're helping mom or dad today, are you showing Jesus love? Yep. When you're being nice to your brother or sister, even when they're not nice to you, are you showing Jesus love? Yep. That's how you're being ready. So keep doing those great things. So first we're going to pray together, okay? And then I'm going to give you the candy. And you know what? I forgot to say, we want to welcome all our friends who are at home today. You know, there are still people at home watching us on the computer. There are still people out in the parking lot. So we want to pray for them too, right? All right, so will you fold your hands and repeat after me? Dear Jesus. Thank you for the people.
Thank you for the people.
Who helped us get ready.
Who helped us get ready.
Parents.
Parents.
Teachers.
Teachers.
Friends.
Friends.
And everyone that loves us.
And everyone that loves us.
We ask you, Lord.
We ask you, Lord.
To help us.
To help us.
To make others ready too. In Jesus' name we pray.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. So grab your hugs. There you go.
Thank you, Mrs. Kasten, for that message. And right now it's time for a little worship. So for kids 4 through 4th grade, and the cross is right in the middle of the center aisle. And now it's time for a message for us bigger kids. So let's say a prayer for Pastor Bill before he shares God's word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be fed by your word and your spirit. We pray for Pastor Bill and the message that he will give over us. May the words of his mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
To fortify Denise's message, one of my members from Havana, Illinois, my previous church before I retired, sent me this. I have often heard that life is short. You better enjoy it. But remember, eternity is long, and you better be prepared for it. I wrote her back and said, I'm going to use that. The text for this morning, "Look, I am coming soon," is from Revelation chapter 22, verses 12 to 17 and 20. And so Jesus says, "Look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give each person according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, sexually immoral, murderers, idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' And let the one who hears say, 'Come.' Let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life. He who testifies to these things says, 'Yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.'" Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Over the triple doorway to the Cathedral of Milan are three inscriptions. Over the one is carved a beautiful wreath of roses. And underneath is the legend, "All that which pleases is but for a moment." Over the opposite door is sculptured a cross and the words, "All that which troubles us is but for a moment." But beneath the great central entrance to the main aisle is the inscription, "That only is important which is eternal." You think about that. Compare the moment to eternal. What is the benefit of a moment's pleasure compared to eternity? What is the harm of a moment's torment compared to eternity? Eternity, with its time without time, continuing forever without interruption, ever. Eternity, where will you spend eternity? There is no more important question in the universe for you right now than that question. Or tomorrow, or ever. The only thing more important than this question is the answer. Where will you spend eternity? Now, there are only two possible answers which are true. One would be in heaven with the triune God, which is the one for you. The other is hell without the triune God. The answer to that question depends on whether we live with the triune God now. Those who live with God in this life will live with Him forever in eternity with God. Well, we need to walk, we need to talk with the people who don't know about Him. We need to bring them to the realization that Jesus is coming soon, because Jesus is our everything. He begins by saying, "Look," or "Behold, I am coming soon." When did He say that? 2,000 years ago? What is this "soon"? He says He's coming soon. Is He talking about the last day? Or is He talking about your last day? When you breathe your last and enter paradise. And the question is, are we ready? We need to be ready, constantly ready, because we don't know when that time is. Now, if you're anything like me, if God were to tell us when He's going to come again, we'd wait until the last minute, right? and then say, okay, from here on, I'm going to be good. But that's really not what it's all about, is it? It's not about being good. It's about having the faith to receive the gifts that Jesus lived and died to give us. He says, my reward is with me. My reward is with me. That's Jesus' reward, not ours. It's his reward. We don't earn anything. He earned it all for us. He says, I will give to each person according to what they have done. Uh-oh. That sounds like works righteousness, doesn't it? That sounds like, if I do the right things, then I'll get to go to heaven. What is it that depends on what we do? What governs our actions, if not what we believe? And if our belief is in Jesus Christ, if we truly believe in him, then we will want to do what he wants us to do. And that's how we will live. And that's how we govern our lives, is by following him, by following his example, by following his words and his rules. We want to do these things. Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Jesus is everything for you and for me. He is the one who came to live in this world, taking your place, earning for you the righteousness of God because he kept the law for you in your name. And then he went to the cross, paying a debt that you and I, we owe that debt. We owe death. But he paid the debt, didn't he? So now we are forgiven for all our sins because he paid the debt in full. Blessed are those who wash their robes that they may have the right to the tree of life. Washing their robes. Many years ago, I was at a church in Grassy Butte, North Dakota, and they had a grocery shower for us, my first service there. And as I was standing there with this white robe on, this cowboy came up to me and he says, what kind of outfit you got? So I started to explain to him about my white robe and how that white robe covers the sinfulness. No, no, man, what kind of outfit you got? What do you drive? Yeah, he was a cowboy. It used to be their outfit was their horse and saddle. And that kind of evolved into his pickup truck. The robe of righteousness. In Isaiah 61, verse 10, Isaiah writes, I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with a garment of salvation, arrayed me with a robe of his righteousness, as the bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. And so that's the robe of righteousness, this thing that Jesus has earned for you and me by keeping the law perfectly for us, that wonderful robe. In Luke chapter 22, starting at verse 11, but when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing a wedding clothes. He asked, how did you get in here without a wedding clothes, friend? The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen. Now, what happened here is the king was going to have a wedding banquet for his son. So he sent out invitations to all the important people. Well, they kept sending answers back. I can't come because of this, and I can't come because of that. Well, the king was really upset. So he told his servants, go out in the highways and the byways and invite everybody. Bring them all in. Everybody, bring them in to the wedding garment. Give them the wedding garment. Give them the robe that they will wear. One guy didn't have it. Why not? They were given away. All he had to do was put it on, but he refused. And that's what we have today, are people who refuse to put on that white robe of righteousness. In Luke chapter 15, a young man said to his father, "Dad, I don't want to wait till you die. I want my inheritance now." And so the father gave him his inheritance, and he went away and squandered it. Didn't have anything left, became destitute, and he had to feed pigs. I don't know how long he's out there feeding pigs, whether it was a day, a week, or a month, or a year. How many of you have ever been around where they feed pigs? Yeah. Smells good, doesn't it? Okay. So now the son, he comes back to dad and he says, "Dad, I'm not worthy to be called your son." But the dad says, "Hey, wait a minute. I don't want to hear all that." He tells the servants, he says, "Bring the best robe and put it on him." Now, how do you think this boy, how clean do you think he is after feeding pigs for how long? And that odor. Now, does the father say, "Just bring any old robe"? No, he says, "Bring the best robe." And so that's what God has done for you and me. We have this stink of sin all over us. We are filthy with the sins that you and I are committing. All the way we think, the way we talk, the way we act. And he covers us up with the best robe, his robe of righteousness, the one for which he gave his life. That priceless robe he gives to you and to me. And so, with that robe, we have the right to the tree of life. Later on in the text, he talks about the water of life. This tree of life, where we have life everlasting, eternal life, in bliss, in paradise with God. Not because we earned it, but because he earned it and gave it to us. The tree of life, which was forbidden to sinners. But now we, without sin, will have it open to you and to me. "Blessed are they who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and go through the gates into the city." And you and I, through the word of God, as it is preached and taught, and we hear and learn, we receive God's Holy Spirit through that word. Romans 10. Verse 17, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." We have that wonderful gift given to us, that promise of life everlasting, so that we can enter into that city, so we can enter into those gates. Those gates will be open to you and to me, not because of us, not because of what we do, not because of what we are, but because of what God has given us, and which we receive by the gift of faith. He said, "Outside are dogs, those who practice magic arts, sexually immoral, murderers, idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood." That could be you and me. We fit most of those classifications in one way or another. But Jesus has washed us clean. He made us clean. He's given us the promise in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. "So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." And that's that robe of righteousness that we put on Christ through our baptism. We put on Christ through hearing the word of God. And how important it is for us to be in that word of God. I think I mentioned last week that we're trying to get our whole family involved in a regular Bible reading program. Get it on the telephones, on the cell phones, so that we can kind of keep track of one another. You know, that wonderful motivation. You know, other people know how we're coming along. Well, the question is, how much time should we spend in the Bible each day? Depends on how much you want to, right? Many years ago, when I was a vicar in Joliet, one of my members came to me and he said, "Vicar, what's the least a person would have to give so that if everybody gave, the church could continue? What's the least?" What's he really asking? What's the least I would have to give? Now, what church did he belong to? Did he belong to St. Minimum or St. Maximum? Okay? If we want to, it will be maximum. If I don't want to, it'll be minimum. How much do you want to pay for a new car? Minimum or maximum? You see the difference between want to and have to? Are we under the have to of the law anymore? No. We're free from the have to of the law because of what Jesus has done. He has freed us from that by taking our place on the cross so that all the sins we committed are paid for, wiped away, washed away in the blood of the Lamb. We don't have to obey the law anymore. Is it important that we keep the law? Well, absolutely. Because we want to. Jesus came into the world and has accomplished such a wonderful thing for you and me. Don't we love him? Don't we want to do what he wants us to do? You see how this affects our life, how it turns us around from being under the law to being under the gospel, to have that wonderful gift of love that God has given to you and to me. The text tells us, "I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you see if I can get the right one. There he is. "I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you the testimony for the churches." The testimony, the angel. Who's the angel? The angel is the messenger from God. The messenger who brings you the good news of Jesus Christ. The messenger can be your Sunday school teacher. It could be your parents. It could be a friend. It could be your pastor who brings you the wonderful good news of Jesus Christ. To give you this testimony. What testimony? The good word. The Holy Bible. The gift that God has given us in that word, where he tells us that we are his, where he explains to us how we need to be a part of his kingdom and how he fulfills that need with his life and death and his resurrection. What Jesus has accomplished for you and for me is eternal, lasts forever. "I am the root and the offspring of David." In other words, he is the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. God told David, "Out of your line will come the Christ, the Messiah." And so Jesus was born. Where was he born? In the city of David. He is a fulfillment of the prophecy. This is the one who had been promised for all time. This is the one who is going to bruise the head of Satan, even though he only bruises the heel of the Savior. That fulfillment, 4,000 years later, is Christ, born in Bethlehem, fulfilling that prophecy and hundreds of other prophecies in the Old Testament. Those Old Testament people had the good news too, and they needed to believe it. It says, "And the bright morning star." This is the first light of hope that we see every day. This is Christ who is in our lives. I mentioned last week that I'd like to see every one of us take that baptism certificate, hang it on a wall in our bedroom, so it's the first thing we see get up in the morning and the last thing we see go to bed at night, reminding us that we are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, where we are washed clean by Jesus Christ and all that he has accomplished for us, and how we are so blessed in that baptism. And it needs to be a reminder, because the world out there is teaching us that if you're good enough, God will love you. The world out there is saying there's no such thing as a free gift. Somewhere, somehow, you got to pay for it. Not with God. With God, it is a free gift. He covered it entirely. Jesus is everything for you and for me. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Now, we know who the Spirit is, right? That's the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. But who's this bride? That's the church, isn't it? We covered that last week as well. The bride of Christ is the church. And the church is doing what? It's inviting. Come! It's inviting. Just like you and I need to be constantly inviting people. Like Denise was saying to the little children this morning about the person who invites, to invite people to hear the Word of God and to receive the sacraments, to receive the Holy Spirit, to create and maintain that faith in us. The church says, come. So let the one who hears say, come. So the one who hears this wonderful message of Jesus Christ, do they want to keep it to themselves? No. If you and I had a piece of news that was so great, would we want to keep it to ourselves? If we knew that Jesus Christ was going to be here, would we want to keep it a secret? We want to invite people to come. I have a secret. He is here. He's promised, wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in their midst. He's here. And you and I are privileged to be in his company, hearing his word right out of his Bible. And so we say, come, inviting others to be here, to receive God. Let the one who is thirsty come, and let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life, or the tree of life. Now, this water of life is kind of interesting. The way it starts out, it's a little stream that kind of comes out from under the throne, in the throne room of God, and it comes down the steps, and it keeps going. And the angel kept taking John a little bit further downstream, and he said, walk in it. And it was up to his ankles. A little bit further, it was up to his knees. A little bit further, up to his hips. A little bit further to his shoulders, and then he couldn't cross anymore. It was too big. It was a big river. The water of life is there for all of us. There's no limit. It's like the tree of life that never quits bearing, but is always giving life for you and for me. He who testifies to these things says, now who is it that's testifying? It's Jesus, the Holy One of God, who has earned it all for you and me. He says, I am coming soon. Isn't that what he said at the beginning of the reading? I am coming soon. Again, there's that reminder. Be ready constantly. There's nothing more important for you to do in this life than to be ready, keeping that faith strong. Don't ever let the teaching of the world draw you away from that wonderful faith in Jesus Christ. I am coming soon. Amen. That usually means the end, doesn't it? Not here. The word amen means truly. That's all it means, truly. I am coming soon, truly. Come, Lord Jesus. Kind of a favorite prayer. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest, and let thy gifts to us be blessed. Amen. A prayer we pray before meals, right? But how much more significant is it to pray when we come into the house of God? Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest, and let these gifts to us be blessed. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Bill. And as our worship team comes up, it's now time for us to gather our offerings and also to take a moment to just mark your attendance since the worship folder is in your pew.
Every knee will bow, every
have talked about how we are brothers and sisters in Christ, and it is at this time that we profess what we believe as brothers and sisters as we read the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. And it's fitting on this Memorial Weekend that we take a moment to pause and remember the sacrifices of those who gave their life for our country. Please be seated. And as we have said, it is customary our fifth Sunday of the month that we do take time throughout our service for those, if you have any particular petitions or concerns on your heart, we will have members of our congregation who will be up front to hear you and to pray with you as we reflect and
save. hear our prayer. We are your children gathered here.
Oh, Lord, it is so fitting that in the last song we just sang, we ask you to be with us. We pray for you to be with us. And Lord, sometimes there is so much evil in the world, and we We lift up those in Uvalde, Texas, and also in Buffalo, and it seems like we can't turn on the news, or for those who still open up a paper just to see the evil that is in this world. And it is very easy to feel despair and pain and anguish, all those things, Lord, because we know this is not the world that you had intended. But we also know that our hope is in you, and we ask you continue to be with those who are hurting, Lord, those who have lost loved ones, whether it be through senseless violence, or for those who, Lord, are dealing with illness. We ask you to surround us, to be with us, to strengthen us, to lift us up. And we ask you to work through us as we minister to those who are in need, who are in pain. For that is the body of Christ, living out what you have commanded us to do, to show that care and that compassion. We ask you to be with the leaders of our nation, our president, our governor, our mayors, all of those elected officials who are in positions of authority, that they look to you for guidance and wisdom as they lead. We ask you to give them your counsel and that they heed it and take it. On this Memorial Day weekend, we also remember those, again, who have paid the ultimate sacrifice for us. And we also lift up those, our first responders, our policemen, our firemen, our paramedics, our nurses, our doctors, all of those who give to care for others, whose sacrifice we often overlook and take for granted. And we ask you for forgiveness when we do that. And at this time, Lord, we ask you to be with us as we receive your body and blood, the sacrifice, that ultimate sacrifice that was given for us so that we may have everlasting life with you in heaven. All these things, Lord, we lift up, praying the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me."
He calls.
May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace with joy. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
And let us rise one last time as we lift our voice in praise. Amen. And with that, it's been a pleasure to lead you in worship today. We will have our elder. Oh, do you have an announcement? Okay, I guess we have one announcement. Yes, go right ahead. Everybody take a seat.
Thank you for letting me. All right. One thing I have to tell you is that Darwin Krause, probably a couple of weeks ago, made sure that he bought these flag crosses so that we could give them out today. And I was on vacation all week, and they were on my desk. And so that's my fault. But they are in a basket in the back, and we want to be handing them out to so that people can remember our soldiers and the gift from God that they are and the freedoms that they earned for us. And please remember our dear friend Darwin as you see these as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Bob. And with that, if anyone has any individual prayer concerns, we will have our elder, Steve Mangrum, at the prayer chapel. God's blessings as you go about your week.